I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hello and welcome to the very first episode of the Crackheads podcast with myself, Kegs.
And me, Shannon.
I am so excited, but also even nervous.
Yeah, this is so exciting. We've been waiting to do this for a long time. And now that we're finally sitting down to do it, I do get what you mean. We've got the nerves there, but I'm just so buzzing to do it.
No, literally, it's been waited for ages. Waiting for ages. Sometimes I'll not be able to speak proper English. It just comes out. So you're just going to have to deal with that.
But that's what this podcast is all going to be about. It's natural. It's crack.
It's authentic.
Yeah, it's just us. It's sitting down with your friends, having your weekly catch up. We're here for the gays and the gals.
And the straights, if you want to listen, but
I very much doubt it.
Feel free. You know what? I think guys would like to listen and hear the tea with like all the girls and the girls.
Yeah, do you know what? Get your gossip scoop in here and then up your game. Do you know what I mean? Up your game.
But yeah, it's like a group chat with like your crazy older brother or sister or younger brother and sister, depending what age you are. Everyone is welcome here.
I am hitting 30 soon, like, so. We're getting old. Probably your older brother and sister. Well, sister at least. But yeah, we're going to have different segments every week. So kind of the same 4 segments that will be every week. Just so you kind of know what to expect. We'll give you a quick run through what we're going to be doing.
So the first segment of each week is just going to be like, what's the crack this week? So like myself or Shannon will just tell you all the crack about what's going on in our lives, what's going on in our family or friends' lives throughout the week. And sometimes we'll also talk about like the headlines of what's happening that week. So like maybe gossip from like social media or like reality TV or something crazy that's just going on in the world right now. Do you know what I mean? Like just a wee chit chat for your mates.
Yeah. And then the next episode, it's going to be wait till you hear the crack. So we're going to be telling a story, one of us. Kegs' will probably be a bit more interesting than me, because if we're honest, you probably have a more exciting life than me. But I do probably have a few hidden gems in there.
You definitely do. The amount of stories that you've told me even today from filming, I'm like, oh my God, she has a lot of stories to tell.
Yeah, so that's going to be the second segment. And then the third?
The third segment is going to be, so what's the crack with? So each week it's going to be like a different topic. So for example, today we're going to be like the crack with Australia. So we're going to be telling our honest opinions on our views on Australia, because both of us have experienced it. And then maybe what's the crack with, say, like an influencer or like a guest or like a business owner or someone that you might want to hear from. So we'll have maybe a guest every couple of weeks potentially, and yeah, just random topics. So like we could do whatever topics you might be interested in. Send us in the topics you'd like us to talk about. It could be like sexuality is a topic I'd like to talk about at some point, or like you could talk about maybe like your weight loss journey or something like that. Like every week is going to be a different topic. So that is wait till you hear what's the crack with.
And then our final topic, this is going to be, you have to get involved in this one. That's going to be tell us your crack. So we've already got a few ideas in here, because we did put up stories last night, but it's basically going to be you send us your dilemmas, your funny stories, if you need a bit of advice, and we're going to sit and talk about them together and give you our advice, our honest unfiltered advice.
Yeah, and you know what, do not take our word for everything, because my friends like come to me with all their problems all the time, and I am the person that gives them all the advice, and then afterwards I'm like, I don't know if that's the best advice, but it might be. Who knows?
Disclaimer,
take it with a pinch of salt.
We're not experts in this. But I actually like to think I give pretty good advice. Yeah, fair.
You know what? I'm good at giving advice, but I'm not good at listening to my own advice.
Yeah, that's true.
That is a thing. So yeah, that is basically what the Crackheads podcast is going to be about. Both of us are a wee bit crazy sometimes, so we've crazy stuff to talk about. And yeah, we're excited.
I'm excited to
sit down with you every week as well, because me and you get on so well.
Yeah,
and we literally have so much crack together. So.
And we've purposely not been like talking to each other so much, so that we'll have stuff to talk about. So that can bring us into our first segment. What's the crack today?
So we had Jed Fulham in for us, and like the amount of times she'd be like, oh, you can't listen to this. I'm like, what, why? She's like, because I'm going to talk about it in the podcast. So like, she was keeping out of conversation. So we may as well just ghost each other for the following week and then actually catch up properly on the pod.
With all of you guys.
Yeah, what is the crack this week? You go first.
Okay, so let's think. What have I been up to? So obviously I've just moved home from Australia. Mm-hmm. So I'm settling in. I am loving life. I am on cloud nine. I've went from 0 to 100 since I've came home. And yeah, I'm trying to get everything sorted in my life. You know, the boring stuff as well, car, all that jazz. And I also have did speak to you briefly about this. I had this want to do something for like intrinsic reward. So I have a great, you know, aligned in my head that I'm likely not going to go back into normal work. I'm going to do social media as my full-time job. But I've took up volunteering. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to be starting that next week. I've got my official date. That is like the main thing that's like this and the volunteering. The podcast and the volunteering is the main thing that's got me really, really excited. So that's pretty much what's going on with me at the minute. I'm going to be volunteering with adults with learning disabilities.
I love that.
And I used to work in that, so it's right up my street.
Okay, cool.
And yeah, starting next week, and I'm so excited.
No, that's class, you know, because I was actually doing a wee video the other day for, so I'm from like near OMA, for anyone who didn't know, and for the OMA, I think it might be the OMA Youth Centre, and they just asked me to do a wee video talking about volunteering, because I actually did a lot of volunteering when I was younger in like youth clubs and stuff like that, and it's actually so rewarding. Like, volunteering is so rewarding, not only for yourself, but obviously you're helping other people, you're giving
back. It's the intrinsic reward, the feeling you get from it. Like, that's what I got every day when I was going to work, but I just like the idea that you're volunteering. You're doing it because you enjoy it.
Yes.
You're doing it because you enjoy it. It's not that it's a job and you're you know, you have to go to make money. I can't wait. I can't wait.
And it's something to do as well in the day.
Yeah.
Like, I might actually join you.
Yeah, 100%. 100%. And I'll be able to talk about it more in the podcast and everything, because the company I'm doing it for have said they're happy for me to chat about it. So,
amazing.
Yeah.
No, that's so exciting.
And what about you?
Well, my week, my life is like not crazy exciting at the minute, because obviously if you've been following me at all, if you don't know me, I have been traveling the world for quite a long time. And this year I've decided to actually stay put in Ireland and sort of not live a boring life, because that's not the right word, but it's just a lot more less craziness going on, if that makes sense.
Not as full on.
Yeah, so I've decided that this is a chapter in my life. I need to sort of settle down a wee bit, focus more on my like finances, focus more on my career and like my health and fitness and like my routine and all that there sort of stuff. So I'm actually currently living at home with my parents.
I love that.
I know, and I haven't lived with mommy and daddy, and I'm not even joking, maybe like 7 years or something.
It's your chill era.
So nice. Like
your chill era. That's what we're living. Kegs is chill era.
Yes, I love it. And there's like a big lake beside my house. There's a class gym, and it's literally just me, mummy and daddy and my wee brother in the house, so it's very calm. And my dog, obviously. I love my wee dog.
I love that.
So yeah, very chill at the moment. I actually launched a group trip to Morocco.
I've seen that.
So
insane.
I launched that last week, and I'm bringing as many people as I can to Morocco on travels for 11 days in June. So if anyone listening and wants to go traveling,
come
on ahead.
And to be fair, you're the person to go traveling with, because you have so much experience. Do you know what I mean?
That's so
class.
Much fun.
I love that.
But yeah, that was the crack sort of this week, just launching the group trip and sort of focusing on routine and stuff. And obviously now we've got this.
To be fair, routine, that's my thing too. Started back at the gym.
Yes.
Started back at the gym. I am not a gym girl.
I'm getting there, you know.
You actually go to, I go to classes. I'm right, a class girl. I like a class because I don't have to think. I just copy the instructor.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? But I'm getting the blood pumping, the adrenaline's going, the serotonin. So yeah, that's enough for me. But I'll never be a person that stands in the gym lifting weights.
No, I'm getting there, and I never thought I would be in my life, but I've got a PT. I've had him since the start of January, and I've been going consistently. And now I went to the gym the other day, right? So he gives me workouts on my phone and like shows exactly what you need to do. I went this week without my phone and literally just done it off the top of my head, and I knew exactly what I was doing. I was like, oh my God.
Okay, gym king.
Am I a gym bro right now?
Oh yeah, gym bro. Good God.
I love it. So yeah, that's the crack. And then obviously, so we're a week behind this week with the podcast. Yeah. And then eventually we'll get it caught up. They will be recording just a couple of days before.
This is just a practice. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Give us time.
Give us time to get all prepared. But we've got Paddy's weekend this weekend. Obviously, Paddy's day will be over by the time. It'll be a week after now.
Mm-hmm.
And both of us are doing a chill sober one.
Yeah.
I'm off the drink at the moment. I'm trying to stay off the drink for the foreseeable. Sober queen right here. Cause
I just can't be bothered. That's my thing. I'm not necessarily off the drink, but yeah. I just can't be bothered. I'm getting old.
It's just the hangovers for me. Like, yeah, it takes me a week to get back on track. And I'm like, if I want to focus on the gym and my career and finances and all, if I go out and I blow it, it's just so much money, and then I'm dead for a week. And I'm just like, nah,
don't get me wrong, I love going out as much as the next girl, but
so do I. That's my problem.
Old, I can't do a hangover, and look at your bank account the next day, and you're like, Christ.
No, literally, we both do love to party. Yeah. We're both party gals, and we've had lots of crazy stories to tell you throughout the podcast, throughout the weeks, of some crazy stuff that may have happened through our party life.
Yeah. I suppose that kind of brings us on to our next segment. Wait, do you hear the crack? So this is the one that we're going to like tell a wee story, whether it be something exciting, something weird, something crazy. It'll just be something random. And for being honest, you are the exciting one and you're the crazy. I am crazy, but you are extra crazy. Yeah. You make me look tame.
She is my close friends, and I feel like this also could be like a bit of our close friends, because I'm going to be exposing myself, you're going to be exposing yourself. So feel, you're basically a part of our fucking close friends friendship right now, because we're spilling all the tea and you're going to get all the inside scoop in our lives. I've actually wrote a list on my phone of all the crazy stories that's happened to me.
I've not been allowed to say it, so this is going to be
I'm going to start off a bit tamer. Week I'm going to start off tame, because I want to eases in each week. I want you to get to know me a bit first before you may judge me at some of the craziness that's been on in my life. But this week I'm going to start off a bit more tame, and the topic of conversation I want to talk about is that I'm considering going back to playing Gaelic football.
Don't even start me. You know me and a Gaelic top. Right, I'll tell you this quickly and then we'll get into his story. So I come from a Protestant background, right? We're all open here, cross community. I come from a Protestant background, but I don't know, ever since the age that I started fancying boys, pretty much, I just have this thing for boys in a Ga jersey. It does something to me. And like a soccer jersey doesn't do it. Like a football, like Man United, blah, blah, doesn't do it for me. But a Gaelic jersey, oh, like my boyfriend.
They are, they're so hot. I don't know what it is.
It does it for me. It just does it. My boyfriend, he comes from a Catholic background and he used to wear them all the time. And now he doesn't. And I'm like, Kieran, if you're watching, wear Gaelic jerseys more. Because it just, watching or listening, it just does something to me. It just gets me going. I love a Gaelic top.
And so then, if I walked in here next week, we're gonna fall on Gaelic.
Don't even do it.
You better watch out.
Don't even. There'll be sweat dripping on my brow. But yeah, so basically from when I was younger, I always had this thing for the people with Gaelic tops. And it was just coincidence, I think, that I always seemed to fancy people that were Catholic. I don't know why. But it did lead me to self declare myself with a fetish. Which I named, please no one take offence to this, which I named a Fenian fetish.
So Donna Mitchell has a Fenian fetish, people. A Fenian fetish.
I do. And it was like an ongoing joke in my friend group and everything that like I had a Fenian fetish. And I do. I don't know what it is. I don't know if yous are just better looking. Like,
it's the gash worse than the thick thighs for me.
Oh, don't even. And like, this is what I think it goes back to. So my dad, growing up, whenever I was growing up, he always played football. That should never be said in the same thing that you're turned on by something, then mention your dad. But anyway, he always played soccer. And he had a friend that played Gaelic, and he told me, like, I tried playing Gaelic, and Shannon, I just couldn't do it. Like, he said, it's so much more difficult. It takes so much more stamina, so much more fitness than just playing normal soccer, football. Gaelic is just really difficult. And I think that, like, embedded it in my head, like, Gaelic, they're just good at stuff.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. So yeah, if you're gonna start Gaelic, are you?
Yeah, I'm gonna be coming in here every week, kidding up to the nines in my Gaelic jersey. I'm embedding me out the tan.
Don't do it too much.
Today's episode of the Crackheads podcast is very kindly brought to you by Bellamianta, which is a makeup and tanning company, a beauty company founded in County Tyrone by our good friend Linda Stinson.
A darling.
So thank you so much, Linda, for helping us out with the first episode of the podcast. We really appreciate it. But yeah, Bellamianta is actually Boots' leading tanning company in the whole of Ireland, which is absolutely crazy. And it's not hard to believe either, because their tan is vegan, cruelty-free and it's free from harmful chemicals.
Oh, yeah. I have to say, I've been a brand ambassador for Bella Mianta now for probably over a year. And I just absolutely love them. I adore them. And you've worked with Bella Mianta before. I don't use any other tan. It's the only tan that I use. And they actually have a lot of new products out at the minute. I've got Glowbase on my face today, which it's a 3-in-1 product. It's a primer, illuminator, and it's also a skin serum.
Yeah.
So 3-in-1, and I've got it on today as my primer.
I've got what do you call that, bronzer? Bronzing powder or something?
Oh, the bronze illuminating powder?
Yeah, incredible.
It's so good. And Bella Mianta have also been kind enough to give us a discount code for our lovely listeners. And it is CRACK20, capital letters CRACK20. And that'll get you 20% off bellamianta.com. So get on, get your favourite goodies, have a nosy. I highly, highly recommend the tan. Like, I just love the tan. Either the liquid tan or the foam, the mousse, is my current favourite. So yeah, get on it.
Go get yourself stocked up, people.
We love you, Bella Mianta. Right, sorry, continue before I interrupted.
Yes, yeah, so this might come as a bit of a surprise, but I actually used to play Gaelic football until I was about 18 years of age, right?
18?
Yeah, did you know I played Gaelic?
No.
Like, I don't come across as a Gaelic player.
No.
But where I'm from, right, I grew up in a place where it was kind of weird. Like, it was a very small town. It was kind of weird for people if they didn't play Gaelic. If you were a guy, you didn't play Gaelic. It was kind of not seen as not weird. It's probably different now, to be fair. But yeah, I grew up and I grew up in a place where you sort of had to be a bit masculine, just kind of fit in and stuff. And I remember, so to be fair, right, I was born quite a feminine child. I played with Barbies, I played with dolls, I wanted to play with all the girls. I wore tea towels on my head with hairbands. I'll insert a photo if I can find one for you. But I like to play dress up, I like to play the girly things. But at a young age then, I was told, like, boys shouldn't play with that. Like, that's not a thing that boys do. So that was from a very young age that this was trying to, society was imprinting these beliefs onto me. Then it comes to when I'm like 10 years of age, or around that age anyway, and I'm playing Gaelic football, I'm playing handball as well. And I remember I was running up the pitch one day and I could see the guys on the team that I was playing for taking the piss out of me for running too much like a girl. And I remember that to this day, and I have a bad memory, and I remember that thing happening to this day.
It's so sad.
I know, at the time, looking back, like a 10-year-old.
Like, you're a little boy, just not being himself. Right.
It's crazy, but that's just what society puts onto us at a young age. Yeah. And I was 10, then I remember trying to run more manly and stuff like that. And that was when it started. Then I remember I was 12. I think I might have been like P7 or first year. And I was at like a teeny bopper disco. Everyone goes wearing like their tracksuit bottoms and their jerseys. And people like kiss each other and stuff like that. It's so innocent.
Your first mates.
So where I'm from, we went to the Craigan disco. And you'd be like walking around with your friend. Like, will you go with my mate? Will you go up to the wall?
Ours was, we went to the ice bowl in Dundalk. It was, will you meet my mate? Yeah. And then if, like, say, like a guy came up to me and I said no, then the fella would like skate behind you and be like, didn't even want to meet you anyway. I'd be like, oh, no.
I love it. Yeah, I used to just go and kiss all the people at the wall. It'd be weird if you didn't kiss them at the wall. Like, I remember we used to go to the Donald Ice Bowl as well, and we used to be afraid of the locals, and you're one of the locals. We used to be terrified of you.
We were the Ballybean Rocket Team.
Ballybean Rocket.
Have you never heard of that? No.
No, never heard of it.
Ballybean Rocket Team.
What is that?
I don't. It's just a phrase. I don't think it's an actual team.
Gang people.
I don't know, but if it is, I want involved.
I love it. Anyways, so that was grand. We went to the teenage disco, and I remember I got attacked by this guy in my ear for being too girly. His exact words or something. I can't remember his exact words. It was a long time ago, but he basically hit me for being too girly. And I went home, and I remember crying my eyes out to my mummy that I got hit. I was literally a 12-year-old. I look at my godson who's that age, and he is an innocent wee toot like a baby. And I'm like, oh my God, that was me. But that happened then. And the same guy who hit me for being too girly when I was 12 broke my nose for being gay when I was like 19 or 20. In our local town as well. Like, same guy. But I you know what, I forgive that guy and I feel sorry for him. Like, he obviously has his own issues or whatever.
That is so true. Probably does have serious deep-rooted 100%. issues, because it's just not normal to have that much evil in you.
Yeah,
you're not born like that, do you know what I mean? There's reasoning.
100%. But yeah, I'm over that stage now anyway, do you know what I mean? I've done a lot of work on myself. But that happened to me then, and then I remember my teenage years, I tried my best. Like, I remember actively thinking of the way I spoke, the way I walked, the way I talked, the way I acted. I forced myself to be good at football. I forced myself to act like a man, to kiss all the girls. Like, I literally was trying my best to be a man, to fit in, to be so masculine. And I suppressed all of my femininity. Like, my femininity disappeared. Like, if you hadn't met me in my late teens, early 20s, I was so masculine.
Can I just say?
Yeah.
So Kegs won't even know this. So basically, like, years and years ago, I think you'd been traveling. I knew who you were. I only started social media a year and a half ago. Yeah. I knew who you were. You wouldn't have knew who I was, but I was like seeing a guy that knew you. You were friends from like back in the day, whatever. And
I want to know who this is, but just tell me after.
Yeah, I'll tell you after. It's not even a big deal if I say, but we'll just not. I seen you in Thompson's and we said hello, but I didn't know you were gay. Like I did. I think until I seen you talk about it on social media, meeting you and whenever I'd like seen you on social media before that point, I did not know you were gay.
Mm.
But do you think that is down to the way you were made to feel? As you said, you were suppressing it, suppressing your true self.
Yeah, 100%. I feel like I definitely forced myself to be super masculine, and I did get that a lot. Like I used to get that all the time. Like no one ever knew I was gay when they first met me and stuff. And I also want to say as well, I feel like masculinity and femininity does not have to link to sexuality.
Yeah.
Like at all.
Like you can be gay and be completely masculine.
Yeah.
And not only that, you can be straight and be feminine. Yeah. It doesn't correlate.
It doesn't at all.
But you feel your true self does have a bit of femininity there that you were suppressing.
100%. I was born, like when I was younger, I was super feminine and then I became really masculine. And then as I left Ireland and I'd done a lot of traveling and I'd done a lot of work on myself, I got really into deep into doing the work on myself to find out more about who I am and to love myself more and things like that. And the more as the years have went on, the more I've realized and started tapping into my feminine side again and stopped suppressing it so much. And I remember actually in Ibiza in the summer there, I was dancing, right? And when I'm in raves, I'm in my head, like, thinking about, like, I'm being present in the moment, but, like, I feel like I do work on myself when I'm in the raves sometimes.
Yeah.
But I was dancing, and I was dancing so gay, like, so feminine, like it's so fun. I loved expressing my femininity. Like, it was just coming out of me, and I was being super feminine, and I loved it. But then I switched, and I was dancing, like, proper masculine, and I loved feeling into my masculine side as well, because our bodies have masculine and feminine energies on either side. And I was like, oh, I like being really masculine too. And I clicked in my head. I was like, oh my God, Kegs, who you are is you're both masculine and you are feminine. Yeah. And it's so powerful to be both because society says that real men are men who are super masculine. And if you show any signs of femininity, you're weak. You're a weak man, blah, blah, blah. But I don't think that's true in my opinion.
No, that's not true.
A real man is a man who has the courage and the bravery to actually show up as his authentic self, show off who he is, show off his femininity, show off his masculinity. And I think even straight men to some of my girls, like if they show a bit of the femininity, I think it's so hot if you show your authentic self.
Yeah, that is so true.
Suppress who you are.
Coming from a girl, like a straight girl's point of view, who like would look at boys, I find it attractive if a guy's able to be in touch with his feminine side. 100%. 100%. Like see that whole like that idea that boys have that like doing certain things makes you gay.
Oh my God, literally.
Like what? That doesn't correlate. What are you talking about? Do you know what I mean?
Like who has told you this information? Do you know like way before our times?
Yeah, it's embedded in like older generations, I think. And I think we are finally getting away from that though.
Eventually. I think Ireland maybe still a wee bit more behind a wee bit.
Yeah. But we're going in the right direction.
We are going in the right direction.
For the majority
for sure.
of the time.
But like, you know, like years and years and years and years and years ago, men wore skirts. Men wore makeup. Like men were the first people to do that.
Yeah.
And like then it was some man randomly decided, no, that's for women only. That men shouldn't do that. Like who says a piece of fabric belongs to a woman? Who says a piece
it's
of,
crazy, isn't you know, it? When you all, get so deep into it, it makes no sense. What a tangent.
What we go on tangents, don't we?
We do.
Be prepared for that.
Yeah, expect that. sorry, go on.
I love it. But yeah, recently I feel like I want to show up as a more authentic version of myself and sort of put across some my social media my beliefs in terms of what we just discussed. And it might piss some people off for sure it's going to, but I just want to lean into that more because I want to share my beliefs and it may help the young guy from the small town who maybe suppresses femininity because he wants to fit in. It might help him at an earlier age start to love his feminine side rather than suppress that, because I wish I had someone when I was that age to maybe showed up as their authentic self and showed you that it was okay to be that version
if
of yourself.
If you had someone to look at and say that it was normal and it was okay, then there was more chance that you would have done it.
And I wouldn't. And you know what? Because I suppressed my femininity for that long, I was pretending to be a completely different person of who I was.
Yeah.
And it got me really bad mental health issues. Like, I was really not okay for a long time because of it. But I've unlearned the society's beliefs. I now stepped into both my feminine and masculine. And I absolutely love both sides of myself in terms of fasting femininity.
I love that.
That leads us to the content that I was making the other day. So I was making a wee video. It's not uploaded yet. It actually will be by the time this podcast is out. But I'm just basically doing a video of what I just discussed basically, and I was up in the football field kicking a football. I was planning to go off for literally a minute, take a video of me kicking the ball, and that would be it. I went up in my gala kit with a football that I borrowed off my wee cousin who's good at football, and I went up and literally was on the pitch for like half an hour. I didn't want to get off.
Ball.
I was loving every second of it. I was like, this is so much fun. Don't get me wrong, if I went on a pitch right now with actual footballers, I would be absolutely roasted alive.
But you enjoyed it.
Yeah.
So why not?
So yeah, I was enjoying it. It was so much crack. I was like, oh my god, walking off the pitch, I was like, sorry, am I a Gaelic footballer again? Like, what the hell?
Yeah, but now if you do go back to Gaelic, now it's not going to be that thing that you're going thinking the things you were taught when you were younger that were embedded into you, that you're going here and you have to act like a man.
Yeah. So if you see me running a Gaelic field, running like a very feminine woman, then that is just who I am and deep in.
That's it. Why not?
But yeah, there is a Gaelic team. Actually, I was telling you earlier, there is a Gaelic team in Belfast.
Yeah, I did not know about this.
I was kissing this guy one night in one of the gay clubs in Belfast, and he was telling me like he is part of this gay Gaelic team, and I was like, oh my god, that's crazy, that's so cool. And after I stepped off that pitch the other day, I was like, oh my god, I am thinking of moving to Belfast. I have been looking at apartments, mm-hmm. because it'd just be handy to be around friends, be up for the podcast, things like that. And I was like, if I move up to Belfast, should I just join Gaelic? Like,
yeah,
go
do
for
it. I did not know this is a thing, but that's quite cool. But like we're kind of saying that we assume it's just like anyone can join, but it's like majority of the people on the team are gay.
I think so. I don't actually know for facts.
Don't know what the facts are. Someone let us know. But that's cool. I think you should. I think you should go for it. But so, I will warn you not to get all down and gloomy. Well, I had the same idea as you. So after I'd finished my weight loss journey, so it would have been not Christmas past, the Christmas before, I'd booked to go to Bali, and my boyfriend had just moved to Australia, and I was like, I'm going to take up netball. I've not played netball from when I was in school. I was a very good netball player. Let's go. Belfast ladies. First day back, September. Let's go. I broke my ankle in the first night. In the last 5 minutes.
What? Was it sore?
It was... I've never seen an ankle so big. It was a long story. Then they said it wasn't broken. They said it was broken. It was ligaments. The ankle was banjaxed, basically. It was absolutely fucked. But, yeah, just be careful.
Okay. I will try not to break my ankle. Oh, my God.
I'm just competitive. I was very... basically, I was going for the ball. Another girl was going for the ball. But I was going to win that ball.
Right,
so
okay.
Then her hip went into my hip and then my ankle went down. But I did catch... I fell with the ball. I got the ball.
Fair.
I got the ball and a broken ankle.
I
had a ball
like
on my ankle.
To see Shannon Mitchell running towards me, you take me out.
I probably would. Oh, no, definitely. Start Gaelic. I love that for you.
So, moving on to the next segment of our podcast.
The third segment.
This is going to be What's the Crack With? So, every single week, we're going to have a different topic or a guest. So it could be like, what's the crack with Rihanna? What's the crack with Dua Lipa? As if manifest that. We'll get that,
yeah,
on the,
we'll
podcast,
get Dua Lipa on.
So it could be with a guest, or it could be, what's the crack with, for example, today we're doing What's the Crack with Australia. So we're going to talk about our honest opinions on our experiences in Australia. And it could be other things like, what's the crack with sexuality, or what's the crack with weight loss, or like something
social
about,
media, just yeah, social interesting media, topics creation. That we feel like we have a lot to say about.
Yeah. So this week we're going to talk about Australia, which is a question that a lot of us get asked, both of us get asked a lot, because we both lived there for a certain period of time, mm-hmm. and we both have very different experiences, I would say.
Very different experiences, yeah, it's kind of crazy. I've said before, like, I don't like talking about it too much because I like to be a positive person, mm-hmm. and my experience just isn't.
Yeah.
And I know it's really like down, and I don't like putting people off the idea, but at the same time, so many people ask me about it, and you know, a lot of people have now came to me, like scary numbers of people saying they've had the exact same feelings and experience, and seeing me talk about it has like give them comfort,
okay.
that they feel normal.
That's good.
So I'm thinking, we talk about it today, it's out of the way,
yep.
it's a thing of the past, but the advice and tips and experiences is here for people.
Yeah, you yeah. can take what you want from it.
Yeah.
So I think I may start first.
Yeah,
you go. A bit more of a positive one than you.
We'll start in positive and then we'll go to gloomy me.
So I've actually kind of, like, I didn't really properly live there, but I kind of stayed there for quite a good period of time, twice. So I actually went there 5 years ago. So if you don't follow me and you don't know who I am, I'm Keggs, and I have been traveling the world.
He's a traveler.
I've been doing it for about 5 years full time, until this year I've decided I'm going to stay in Ireland for the foreseeable. And it's chill era. 5 years ago, I basically was living in Magaluf. And I was meant to go back to university afterwards. I had no money to my name. I didn't know what I was doing. And I did not want to go back to Ireland. I actually can't lie. I hated Ireland at the time. I hated home. I hated everything about it. I hated myself, to be honest. But see, now I love this place. I love coming home. I love my family. I walk around my lock at home and I'm like, oh my God, I'm so grateful that I'm from here. Like, it's, I just love it here now. Like, it's such a difference because I've done the work on myself and it changed my internal world, which then changed my external world, I suppose. But at that time, I did not want to come home. And I was like, what am I going to do? I met this girl in Magaluf who told me she works on cruise ships. And the cruise ships basically pay for everything. So like, you can go with no money. And I was like, right.
Sounds like a dream, to be fair.
So I was sold. The absolute dream. Like, it was so good. But the dream was good. But
yeah. It sounds good.
Yeah. But I went for this interview, got the job. Within 2 weeks, I was shipped off to Australia. And I literally, I think I had about £30 in my bank. You know, like, I was skinto megento. I think I was so young, no money to my name.
Being in Australia, I already know.
Yeah, Australia's it's not going to work. But on my defense, the cruise ship pays for everything. Like, I'm living on the boat.
Forgot about that.
Living on the boat, free food, free drink,
accommodation.
You're working on the ship, blah blah blah, and they paid for my flights and stuff. So I went. My mum and dad, I think, could afford to give me £100 at the time, and I literally went, no money, but I got the job and I was working on this cruise ship. Got there and I soon realized that it was not the dream that they were making it out to be, because the cruise ship was, I would say, I have worked, if you see my CV list, I think I worked a lot of jobs all across
been
the world.
Been around the block. Me too.
So many jobs.
Me too.
We could talk about that in another podcast. Yeah. All jobs we worked. But I basically was working on this cruise ship. It was worked out. I was working every single day. Majority of the days were 12-hour shifts. Didn't get a day off in 5 months. I worked like a 12-hour.
5 months?
5 months.
5 months?
I know. Didn't get a day off. Not one. What? And I even remember I worked like a 12-hour shift on Christmas Day and my manager tried to cut my break to half an hour in the full 12-hour day. I was like, you're mental. I'm not doing that.
Holy smokes.
Like, it wasn't
good.
That's
slave labour.
100%.
That is slave labour.
You know the pay as well? It worked out as well. The pay was like £600 for the month or something. I think I worked it out the amount of hours. I don't worked out like £2 an hour or something crazy like that. Like, it was ridiculous. And my manager was also, she reminded me of Miss Trunchbull. I'm not going to say obviously her name or the cruise ship, but she reminded me of Miss Trunchbull from
Scary
Matilda.
Woman.
She was just horrible. Like, really not a nice person. And I like nice people, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So this wasn't a good atmosphere. The thing I would say about the cruise ship was I met some really amazing people. I have friends that I'm still friends with to this day. And I met it was my first time experience in making friends with loads of different nationalities. So I got to learn about different cultures and it really opened my mind to the world a lot. I also got to see some really beautiful places because we did get to go off the ship. Even though we were maybe working that morning, we still got to go off the ship before in different places. And yeah, it was good in that sense. And it was also the first time I was spending a lot of time with myself. I started to listen to self-help podcasts and it was the start of my self-improvement journey as well, I suppose. But overall, wasn't a great experience in terms of the job. I also got my ear chopped in half. Have you ever seen that?
No, what?
Yeah, I got my ear chopped in half.
For audio-only listeners, this is the first time I've seen this, and there is a big line. What on earth happened to your ear? There's like a big line the whole way down his ear.
Yeah, it's crazy. I don't know. I'll zoom in, I'll show you after. Yeah, so I was on the cruise ship, right? And in our bedrooms are like tiny wee cabins.
Yeah,
and
I've heard this.
You share it with someone. My room is tiny. There was room for like one of us to stand up at a time. And I remember, sorry, I have to go into deep into the person. The guy I was sharing room with, sound guy from Africa. I think where he's from is a really dangerous place in terms of like bad things happen
crime.
There. And I think that something must have happened in his life at some point that he has like really bad dreams and really bad like night terrors and things like that.
Oh.
And I'm not going to say questions he asked me when he had a bit of alcohol in him, but some of the things he said to me, I was a bit like, oh, that doesn't sound like a joke. Like, that sounds like something, like, I'm not going to say what happened, but something bad. He was asking me some really, like, crazy questions.
Okay.
And then I remember one night I woke up and he was like, I was top bunk, he was bottom bunk, and he was like attacking my top bunk, like kicking
it. Was about to say, you're not going to say that this happened during a dream.
No.
So, oh, I thought you were going to say he attacked you.
No, he was dreaming. And he was,
Yeah,
so he was dreaming and he was basically like attacking the top bunk with his like feet, like kicking it and hitting it and stuff. And I was like, bro, what the hell? Like, what are you doing? And he actually was such a sound guy. Like, we got on
He was
so
having
well.
Like a nightmare, a night tremor thing.
And that was grand anyway. But whatever way he had like kicked my bed or whatever, it like put my bed out of place. So it was like broken. And I reported my bed being broken, but nothing was done about it. And then the next day,
I should laugh.
It is a funny story. The next day, we were in a crew bar, and you're not meant to drink alcohol on the cruise ships, by the way, if you're a worker. But yet they give us cheapest drink ever. Like, Australian drinks expensive if you're mainland, but these drinks in the crew bar was like £1 for like a double vodka or whatever. Like, so cheap. So we always ended up getting pretty drunk at this stage. And at that time in my life, I was a wee party boy. Like, I like to drink a lot. And I came in that night, I was steaming, climbed up to my top bunk, and because he had knocked it out of place or whatever, the bed had tipped. And whenever it tipped, my ear hit on the curtain hook. And when I hit the ground, the curtain hook hit off like the corner of the table and just chopped my ear
but
in half.
But hold on, you were in the middle of the sea, so how did the ear get back on?
Right, so obviously ships have doctors. Like, they have a ship hospital. And we ship doctors and stuff.
Yeah, I just thought it would be like first aid though, but they actually have doctors that can stitch up. Oh, that's good to know. That's good to know.
So yeah, I basically was, and I was so drunk as well. I remember on my, and Instagram and stuff wasn't a thing back then, thank God. Because I went on my Snapchat story, my ear was hanging off. You could see it just hanging off by this top bit. And it was like a big line up the middle, blood everywhere. And I'm steaming, I'm like, oh my God, lads, my ear's just been chopped in half. Like, what the hell? Like,
fear. Fear. Oh my goodness.
But yeah, I got a stitch back, have a big scar.
It's actually not noticeable though, until you point it out.
Yeah, but then I ended up getting kicked off the cruise ship because of it. Because I was drunk.
Oh,
and also to think,
but to be fair, you weren't really enjoying yourself.
But it happened for a reason, because then I ended up moving to Ibiza, and that's when my journey properly began, because I loved it so much. So everything happens for a reason, for sure. Yeah. But yeah, Australia. So that's fun on a tangent again. Oh my goodness.
Yeah, but your first experience in Australia, you didn't enjoy it. You didn't. You didn't really have the funds to enjoy it, because
So when I was on like the mainland and stuff, when I was out partying, I couldn't afford it, and I just didn't really like the vibe. Didn't like who I was at the time either. Really. I was still unhappy within myself at the time. So I just didn't have a good experience. And I remember leaving Australia at that time, and I just had in my head, I was like, I just don't see the hype of Australia. Like, loads of people go there. I was like, I don't see the hype. I don't think I'll ever be back. Like, it just wasn't a bit of me. Like, I don't see the hype of Sydney, because I was based there a lot. And I was like, it's not for me. So then fast forward 5 years, I've been traveling all over the world since then. And I remember I was living in Bali for 8 months, and a lot of my friends from Bali moved to Australia, moved to Sydney especially. So after everyone left Bali, majority of my friends in Bali, like, we had a really amazing friend group in Bali. Like, it was so good. Like, I loved that experience with them people. But a lot of them had moved to Bali. Bali's amazing, isn't it?
Yeah, I love Bali.
To be fair, I got sick of it towards the end, but I was there for 8 months and a lot of my friends had left. So I was just done. And I also went through a toxic relationship. We'll get to that in another podcast.
Yeah.
But that was an experience. That is a story for another time. Oh my goodness. Anyways. So a lot of my friends moved to Sydney. I was actually in Bangkok just before Christmas by myself, and I didn't know what my plans were for Christmas. And I remember I FaceTimed my friend Daniel, and he was like, kegs, everyone's here, come over for Christmas, it's not that far. And I was like hungover at the time in Bangkok on my own, and I wanted to be around my friends. And I was like, oh, you know what, forget when I was when Skyscanner on the FaceTime on that call, and I literally just booked it then and then. It was so spontaneous. I was like, I'm coming to Sydney. So I went over for a plan to go over for 2 weeks. That was all. I was going to go to Sydney for 2 weeks and then go back to Thailand, because I wanted to explore Thailand. Got there, and as soon as I stepped off the plane, I just felt a different energy. And I was like, oh, I think I put on my close friends. I was like, lads, I think I'm going to stay here. I just felt good. And I got off the plane. I already had a solid group of friends there, and my friend Sinead had a spare room. And I didn't feel the need to go out and like get a proper visa, because I was like, right, I'm just gonna stay for the 3 months. So then I just didn't need to find a job or any of that, because I was doing social media as well, so I was fine. But I got lucky. My friends were all there. I got a gaff with my friend. I didn't need to really stress about looking for work, and I was just there to enjoy myself. I was obviously working on social media, but not too, but I was just there to enjoy myself, and I did. I freaking loved every second of it. Like, those 3 months of Sydney, I had an absolute ball. Like, I just felt, to be fair, I obviously had down days as well. Like, it was a bit up and down all the time. That's normal. But a lot of the time, I was like, oh my God, I love it here. Like, I love the lifestyle. A lot of my friends were getting up for the sunrise and doing the yoga and all that there sort of stuff, going for beach days. Sydney World Pride was on when I was there. Yeah. And it was honestly the craziest, but up there with the best 3 weeks of my life. That is also a story we're freaking going to talk about, because there's a lot of crazy
story
shit
for another time.
But yeah, I really, really, really loved my experience in Sydney the second time around, 5 years later, just when I left. And I was actually considering moving back soon, but I just feel like right now I'm very content being here, and I feel like this is where I'm meant to be right now.
Following your gut.
Follow my gut. And don't get me wrong, I did spend a lot of money. Sydney is expensive. And I did meet some really cool people. And yeah, I just had a ball there, to be honest. But I was just lucky in my circumstances. It's not the same for everyone, especially not the same for you after everything we've been talking about.
Yeah. So I suppose I'll start my bit. I'll go off like what you were saying about spending a lot of money. I kind of think that goes back to your values at the time, right? So that was one of my issues. I'll get into everything, but one of my issues was how much money I was spending. Obviously, I was earning money, but then when I just looked at my outgoings, the amount of money I was spending was terrifying. I actually messaged you 3 months in, because people around me were like, I don't know if I spent that much. I don't know. And I was like, oh my goodness, is this insane? Because I have nothing to show for this other than like a car, an apartment, and you know. But it seemed like way too much money. I'll never say online how much it was because it's scary.
Not wise.
And I messaged Kegs and I was like, is this normal? And he was like, I don't know, let me go check. And his was like the exact same. But the difference is you didn't have to like pay for an apartment and furniture and a car, but you were going out more. And
I would
have
been out a lot.
And it's expensive to do that.
Like, I remember the festival tickets for like some of the gay pride stuff was like $200 for like a ticket.
Crazy. It's nuts. It's crazy. And like drink and everything. It's so expensive. I don't care what anyone says about that. It is expensive. And the wages, like people, years ago the wages in Sydney were really good. Nowadays they're not. Like my boyfriend earned more at home than he did in Sydney.
That's
He's working
crazy.
The same job. It's insane.
I just assume that this pay in Australia is so much more. Yeah. I think it is obviously for some jobs.
It depends where you are. It depends when you compare it to the cost of living and everything in different places. But Sydney, most jobs, there is difference. Like doctors and nurses and stuff is a lot higher. But anyway, I'm going on a tangent again. But the money thing. I think it's just that side of it is because of where I am in my life. I'm 28. I want to buy a house before I'm 30. And being in Sydney, that was not going to happen simply because you spend so much money. And I would never be able to buy a property in Sydney because the prices are crazy. And that was always playing in the back of my mind. I was like, the longer, I've said to my boyfriend, the longer we're here, the further it pushes away us ever being able to buy a property because we can just save so much more at home because we both have less outgoings at home. And everything's cheaper at home. And like, I make the same wherever I am kind of thing. But he makes more money at home. But if I was 21, that wouldn't be a thought in my head. As long as I had enough money to get paycheck to paycheck, I would not care. But it comes down to what your priorities in life are at
100%.
That time. But for me, that was a big issue. Well, one of the issues. And then I think the other thing is, I, leading up to going to Australia, never really wanted to go. So basically, for anyone
that... I remember we were like going... I was like, we were going to Harry Styles or something.
Yeah, I was dreading it. I was dreading it. But my boyfriend, basically, he went to Australia before me. He was there for a year, for anyone that doesn't know. He was there a year before me and he'd asked me to go originally and I said, no, but you need to go because you'll always resent me. You need to go. So he went and then we met up in Bali 6 months in and he was like, please come to Australia. And I was like, right, okay, book the flights, 6 months time, I'm coming. And leading up to that next 6 months, it was fine at the start, and then it got really close and I was like, oh my goodness, I don't want to go, but I'm going to go with an open mind. It's a long holiday, if anything, it'll be fine. So I get there, first month it's okay. I'm like, I'm not loving life, but it's grand, you know, it's okay, we'll see how things go.
Yeah,
it gets to month two, we get our own apartment together. And I just start feeling things aren't right here. I'm not enjoying this. I just don't feel like this place is aligning with me. I don't know. But everyone's telling you on social media, like, you just need to give it a chance. You need to give it time. It's hard for everyone. So I thought it was normal to be feeling this way. And if I just kept going, that I'd start loving it and seeing what everyone else is seeing.
Yeah.
So I did. I kept going. And by month three, I was just... miserable.
Yeah, you're in a bad way.
Miserable. But again, kept saying like, no, it's normal to feel like this. Everyone on social media tells you it's normal. You just need to give it time. So I think the things were, obviously I said about the money situation, but like, I just never felt welcome. So walking down the street, no one greeted each other. It's just not the done thing. Like at the beaches and stuff, everyone's kind of in their own world. It's their own rat race and their own lives. And it's just different at home than it is over there. So like, I'll give you an example. The first week I moved home from Australia, I was like to my boyfriend, let's go for a walk in Downpatrick. It was like a little experiment in my head. Went round a lake and I said, every single person that walks past, I'm going to greet them, whether it be smile at them or say good morning, whatever, and see what the response is. Every single person that went past smiled or greeted me back. And that just doesn't happen in Sydney. Like, it doesn't. And I think
It could be big city thing,
but also that's so important to me. That, do you know what I mean? Like,
to be fair though, Irish people are the best people ever. We're super friendly.
We're so friendly. But that was a big thing for me. I never really felt welcome.
Notice that though. I've been traveling for such a long time, and as soon as you say you're Irish, everyone's like, oh my god, we love the Irish. Everyone from everywhere in the world loves the Irish because
well thought of. We are
super friendly people.
But I think that was a big thing for me. I was just used to being at home and just always feeling welcome and people being friendly, and that just wasn't the way things were. Everyone was in a rush. Even driving, I hated driving because people used to literally beep their horns for no reason. That's like a known thing, a Sydney thing, that like they just love beeping their horns. And they were just angry drivers. Like, they would go into the side of you. You could sit for half an hour with your indicator on. No one's going to say go. Like, so angry. It's just different people. But then I think the thing is, like, your experience, you had friends over there.
Mm.
I was finding myself, like, being friends with people that I probably wouldn't actually be friends with. Don't get me wrong. Like I said, I met so many amazing people out there.
Yeah.
So many amazing people that I'm so glad I met. But also at the start, I actually sat down with my boyfriend one day and said, I feel like I'm just like being friends with people for the sake of having a friend, because I don't really know a lot of people out here. And it wasn't that them people weren't nice people. I just thought that, like, if I was at home, I probably wouldn't be friends with them. We're at different stages of our lives.
Yeah.
We're doing different things, but it's just to have someone to call a friend,
mm.
which is a bit sad. So I had to like cop onto that and be like, stop doing that. Do you know what I mean? You're 28. Like, then that becomes hard, because again, if you're open to just meeting loads of new people and maybe figuring out if they're the person for you or not, then you'll be fine. But for me, at my stage of my life, like, I've been there, I've done that. Like, I either click with you or I don't.
Yeah.
And if a friendship happens, it happens naturally. That's the stage I'm at in my life.
Yeah.
And that's how I did meet a lot of friends over there. But yeah, that was hard for me. Where you were out there,
see, I was surrounded by friends that were already there, and I love my friends, they're class.
Yeah.
Like, I still am friends with them all now. I chat to them as much as I can. It's hard to speak to people around the street.
So then if you did meet other people, it was just like a bonus. It wasn't like you had to look for friends. Do you get me?
No, I didn't have to look for friends. I got lucky in that sense when I was there. Like, I didn't have to look for friends. And to be fair though, I've been traveling a long time, and I do put myself out there to meet new people and make friends with people.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because I do like that. Like, obviously we're different maybe in that sense, but I like making new friends.
I'm the kind of person that likes making new friends, but I like it to happen organically.
Yeah.
And that wasn't that's not you have to be willing to like force friendships to see if they're going to work or not when you're out there meeting new people.
Fair. Do you get me?
So that was another thing. And then as well, I suppose this is another thing we differ in. Any friends that I did meet, like, they worked full-time jobs, and you were out there with people who a lot of your friends work on social media.
Yeah.
I didn't have that. So then, like, Monday to Friday, my friends were exhausted. They were working big, big hours. So if I text them in the evening, do you want to do something? They're like, no, I'm going to bed.
And
I was then missing in the evenings, that thing where when I was at home, I had my family and my friends were always up for doing something, but it wasn't like that over there. And it's the whole thing. It goes back to, in Sydney, it's very common to be a morning person. I am not. I am anything but a morning person, I can tell you that much. And people love getting up for sunsets. Sunsets don't really do it. Or sunrises. They don't really do it for me the way they do a lot of people.
If
yeah.
I get up, I'm not really a morning person.
I'd rather be in my bed. Do you know what I mean? Like, if I see it, I see it.
So
but
real for that.
You know, like, some people, that makes their day.
Yeah.
They everything else can go bad in their day, but they see the sunrise and they're happy.
Mm.
And that is the way a lot of people live in Sydney. That just didn't do it for me. And like I've said this to you before, and I think you'll agree with me, in Sydney I found it you're either that morning meditation, going to the gym kind of person, or you're a partier.
Yeah.
There's like two groups of people, and I didn't really fall into either. So then I was a bit lost, because I was like, I don't want to go out partying all the time, but I also do not want to get up at 4 o'clock in the morning. I do not want to go to the gym. I do not want to meditate. That's not me.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to force myself to be someone I'm not, just to like fit in and have a group over here.
Fair. See, I was both of those. I loved it.
You went through like phases.
I did go through phases, to be fair. So I think there was like a month where I was like healthy lifestyle. I was going to the gym every day. I was doing the sunrise book clothes and the sunrise meditations.
Yeah.
Maybe not sunrise. That was really early, was it? I don't know. It was early mornings anyway.
Yeah.
But there was like a big group of people, and I loved like meeting new people and networking, and I enjoyed that whole wholesome side of it. But then I also had like periods where like Sydney World Pride was on, and I went absolutely buck crazy for a full month.
You were in both sides.
I was
of
in
it.
Both. Yeah. I love both.
But then that's the thing again with like your friends over there and them all working in social media stuff. I was meeting friends that wanted normal jobs, like the regular standard jobs. And so then I was seeing the struggles that you maybe didn't see. So I was seeing my friends that could not get accommodation and were having to like sofa surf and could not get work. And if they did get work, they were being underpaid compared to what they were at home.
Yeah.
So I was seeing the struggles of people going through, and then they were my friends, so I'm going to be there for them. But then I'm seeing the negativity, and it gives me negative thoughts because of the way my friends are and the situation my friends are in. And I'm like, this is, do you get me?
Yeah, 100%.
It wasn't directly happening to me, but it gives me a bad vibe of a place. That,
yeah, okay. See, I had my friend group, a lot of them worked like their jobs in like bars and restaurants and stuff like that there, but I didn't see anyone like struggling. Like, no one who's actually really
close to me.
And
I think times have even changed in, like, the past probably year. Like, from I was there, it's the rental crisis in Sydney is crazy. Obviously, the price of rent is crazy. Getting a job is crazy. Like, my friend Niamh, she'll not mind me saying this, I think she only had a job for maybe a few weeks, and she's been there. She moved over like the month before me, and you know, she's a degree. She wants a job in her degree, and she cannot get one. And it's the kind of thing that she's there with her boyfriend. So you know, they've obviously worked it out. They've savings, whatever. But for someone maybe going over, thinking I have a degree, I'm going to get a job, and they can't, and maybe they're single and they don't have a boyfriend support, or they don't have savings there. They're maybe going to struggle and have to go home. Do you know what I mean?
It's not a place you can just stay if you don't have like the money, because it is expensive.
It's not like you can go to, you know, like if you go to Spain, you can pick up a wee bar job or whatever and get by. It's just not like that. So I've seen the struggles for other people. And as I said, I was just a bit bored. I missed my family. I didn't feel welcome. And it was just a mixture of all of that. And because everyone was telling me on social media, it was so normal to feel to be difficult for the first while, and you have to push through, and the good times will come. I was letting myself fall into a severe depression by listening to what other people were telling me.
Yeah,
like severe. It was so bad. I was crying. You kind of know. Yeah. I was crying every day during the day. I didn't even tell my boyfriend how bad it was until like breaking point, and he was like, "Why did you not tell me this? I am ready to go home when you are," because he'd been there. He was over it. Like, he was ready to go home whenever, but I didn't want to tell him because it was like, he will say, let's just go home, and like, no, I need to push on because everyone's telling me to push on.
Yeah.
Looking back, it was.
But this
so
is like
silly.
Month three, and you knew in your gut that you just didn't want to be there, and like month three is a long time.
And my
breaking
point was like month six.
Yeah.
So I pushed through because of what other people were saying for literally another 3 months, and I was at breaking point when I broke down to my boyfriend, and it was at the point I actually remember saying to him, crying, I think it was New Year's Eve, I was crying, and I said, I'm so nervous because even though we're going to book flights home, I'm scared I'm not going to go back to myself. And he that hurt him, because he was like, no, you will. Like, but in my head, because I was so down, I was like, no, like I'm never going to get Shannon back. I'm not. I'm just going to be feeling like this forever. I've really affected my mental health. And looking back, it was so silly because as soon as I came home, everything did just go back to normal. Yeah. And it was so circumstantial. Like I said, like, I was depressed, but it was circumstantial 100%.
Yeah, you were feeling very lonely there, to be fair, because like, you weren't surrounded by your friends all the time and stuff like that. But it's just funny.
And my family as well. Like, I'm too, so close with my family. So close. It was such a difficult time for me. But like I said, I never want to put anyone off, because some people do love it.
And if you listen to both of our conversations right now, like, we both have completely different experiences.
Like, and I can get like where you're coming from too, because I can see it's a place where you would thrive and you would enjoy it.
I loved it. I want to go back at some
point.
So
it depends. Yeah, it depends what kind of person you are. Like, if you listen to me and you're like, I kind of align with Shannon, and I'm, you know, in the same situation, I want to do the same things as her, maybe it's not the place for you. But then if you're listening to Kegs and you're like, that's the life I want to live, then it'll probably align with you.
I think the best thing for you to do, if you're considering going to Australia, is sit down with yourself and ask yourself, what are your values right now,
and like, your priorities,
what your priorities are. Because if you're like Shannon, who maybe wants to settle down and get a house, and you might not be arsed about making new friends, or might not be arsed about partying, or like any of that meditation that everyone's doing, or any of that sort of stuff, if that's not for you, then it's not for you. But with me, I went and I was just there to have a good time. I wanted to meet new people. I wanted to try all this like Sydney lifestyle. And I loved it. Do you know what I mean? So sit down with yourself and ask yourself what your values are, and if you actually really want to go. And if it's like maybe people on social media like convincing you that it's like amazing over there, which in my opinion, it is sometimes for some people, but everyone is different. Just sit down with yourself really and ask
yourself
what you really
so
want.
True. And just trust your gut, because looking back, I just wish I did trust my gut. Like month three, I should have been booking my flights home, but I just listened to other people. And
people always say give it time, and I am one of those people who, whenever people ask me on travel advice and stuff and I don't like it to start, I do say give it time. I always say give it like a month, because I've had experiences.
Everyone told me 6 months in Australia, and
that's
half a year. So much happens in half a year, and especially if you're down so early on into them 6 months, staying on longer is just gonna, do you know what I mean?
No, 100%. 6 months is a long time. But I say a month because I've had experiences in like Bali or like Mexico or different places where the first month I was like, I don't like it here. It's not for
and
me.
Then
like,
you
I
learned need to leave. To love it.
And then I have something just switched and I was like, oh my God, I'm a bit more comfortable here. I'm making friends. Oh my God, I love it here. And then I end up with some of my favorite places I've ever lived. Do you know what I mean?
I think you know yourself. And as I said, it definitely comes down to values. It definitely comes 100%. Down to what's important to you at that time. 100%. If I was 21 and went to Australia, I probably would have a different experience because back then I couldn't give a crap about money. I literally could not care less. I just wanted to drink and party. So I would have fitted in with a party crowd.
100%.
Do you know what I mean? So yeah. That's pretty much my take on it, and I'm just so glad to be home. Yeah. Honestly,
welcome home. I see such honestly from watching your close friends when you were there and seeing like the real behind the scenes to seeing you now. It's just like so nice to see because you're glowing again. You're back to Shannon.
I'm back.
You're back. Yeah. But yeah, it's funny to hear like completely different versions of it as well because obviously.
But that's the thing too about social media. You know, there is so many people that are honest about their experience that do love it, but there's also like. Just normal people that don't do social media, I find. But you'd look at their social media, like their Instagram, and all their photos looked amazing, or their TikToks, their highlights. And I would have been like, oh my goodness, them people are loving Australia, like they are living their best life. But then people that I know personally that Instagrams look like that, they're not loving their life and they can't wait to get home and they're really miserable. So don't just look at your friends' social media and go, oh my goodness, they're living their best life in Australia, because it's so easy to make it look that way.
Yeah, like even myself, I'm at home right now and I am very content at being at home. This is the place I'm meant to be right now and I'm enjoying my nice, I'm going to say boring, but like it's a lot less crazy, but I'm enjoying this right now. I know I know exactly this is where I'm meant to be, but I am seeing on social media, I'm like, oh my God, I want to be in Thailand, I want to be in Mexico, I want to be in Australia, because people make it out like
it's easy. It's easy to make. I could have never let it on how miserable I was, and I could have made my life look very, very good. It's so easy to do, and obviously the only reason I was more open about it because I was like, I have a platform and I should be honest. I'm always authentic. I always try to be authentic.
I think that's why we're good friends as well, because both of us are what you see on social media is what you get in person as well. Like, we're both for ourselves. And
then I had so many people reach out to me saying like, thank you so much for your video, like I was so miserable in Australia and I left and I was made to feel crazy, but your video gave me comfort and made me feel normal. And I was like, this is why it's so, I should be talking about this, because as soon as you mention you're not enjoying yourself over there, people will jump down your throats and be like, no, you need to give time, no, you need to do this. And even like I'm saying about, you know, people, you know, friends, social medias that you might look at and go, like, they look like they're living their life, but it's only normal to post your highlights. So like I have a friend that just moved home recently, and if you looked at her social media, you'd be like, wow, she had such an amazing time. She wasn't, she was just getting by. She knew the end goal, she was going home soon and whatever, but she was actually not loving life. But That's social media.
Yeah, you know, social media. To round that off, I don't want to leave a dampener for anyone considering going to Australia.
100%. I would always say, like, don't listen to me and go, I'm not going.
Yeah, I think what you need to do is, because it's not just Australia, it's America, it's anywhere in the world. It's, you need to sit down with yourself and ask yourself what your values are right now, what exactly you want right now. And if you want an adventure, if you want to try something new, if you want to meet new people, if you want a new experience, a change of scenery, go for it, try it.
I also think if it's something that keeps coming up in your mind, you clearly have a desire there to try it.
Yeah.
So try it. But as I said, if it's getting to the stage where you're feeling really, really down, don't force yourself to stick it out because of what other people are telling you. Do you 100%. Know what I mean? But if you've that desire that it keeps coming up in your mind, then that's a sign that you probably should try it. Do you know what I mean?
100%. Did you travel much before as well?
Yeah, I've been loads of places.
Yeah, you've traveled a bit. So yeah, if Thailand, you've never traveled before, book the flight.
Bali. I love Thailand, love Bali. I lived in London for a while. I've been to America. I used to go back and forth to LA.
So you have loads of stories. So yeah, we're not leaving a dampener because I absolutely loved it. She doesn't love it as much, but everyone has different experiences. It just depends on the person.
And everything really in life. Everything in life is a learning lesson. Do you 100%. Know what I mean? I learned so much.
And everything happens for a reason. If you end up in Australia, you're meant to be there at that time. Do you know what I mean?
It taught me, there's clearly something in my life that's taught me. Do you know what I mean? Something's going to happen that I'll be like, that's why I went to Australia to learn this or realise this. Or, do you know what I mean?
100%.
Yeah.
What I learned from Australia is actually a good thing to ask. What I learned in Australia was to embrace my gayness. That's what I remember my Australia. I really stepped into the guest version of myself and I was like, oh, this is why I came to Australia, because I really...
You were able to embrace it?
Yeah, able to embrace the gayness that's inside of me.
I think I really learned to trust my gut and to trust myself. I think, you know, I'm quite a confident person, but I maybe don't have a lot of trust in myself. So if other people are telling me their opinion or what they think I should do, I nearly trust them more than I trust myself. And I didn't know that until I went to Australia and left Australia and realised, no, you need to trust yourself more because you know yourself better than anyone. And it really did teach me that lesson.
That's beautiful.
Yeah.
I love that.
I'm a
that
poet. So, yeah,
I love being gay in Australia and you loved trusting your gut.
Yeah.
Learned. Yeah. Australia, or Sydney and Melbourne and those places are good for the gays. I can't lie about that. Like, I was going on dates all the time. We'll talk about that another time. But I was going on dates all the time and seeing being at home. Have I went on one date this year? I couldn't even do my 2023 dating wrap.
Less people here, though.
True. No, that's what I mean. That's why there's like no...
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So you don't have the opportunity.
No, that's why.
Yeah.
But like, I couldn't even do my 2023 dating wrap because my close friends were like, no, you cannot do that because I was a wee bit of a naughty boy last year. Like, I was going a bit crazy.
Done the rhymes.
And I was like, no, you can't share that on social media. That's too much. And I was like,
getting cultured.
Oh, I really was getting cultured. Many different nationalities were going about last year. Can I tell you how many dates I've been this year? And it is March. Zero. Absolutely none. There's not a single man in this vicinity that fancies me back.
Oh.
So.
But, see, I was, until I met my boyfriend, I was never, again, off on a tangent.
Yeah.
I was never a relationship person.
No?
I was not even like a, I just didn't have an, I just went out to have fun. I was literally just living my best life, Shannon era. I did not care about boys. Like, I fancy boys and I talk to boys, but it just wasn't a thing in my life.
Yeah.
Had no interest in a boyfriend. Went on dates and stuff, but it was nearly just for the crack to like gossip.
Yeah.
Like with my friends after and be like, here, would I hear this for a gag? It was never with
that's
like
me, to be fair. Last year I was going to dates, like for my close friends to get all the tea.
Yeah, I have some funny dating stories, like, but it was never for the goal to find a boy or a boyfriend. And then when I met my boyfriend, it was just like, whoops.
He's not even your boyfriend.
Yeah, that's a whole other thing.
I'm joking.
Well, Kieran, when are you going to ask me to be your girlfriend? I know we've called each other boyfriend and girlfriend now for over a year, but when's the question coming? Oh dear. Okay. Well, we'll move on to our final topic.
Yeah.
So, like we said at the start, this is going to be Tell Us Your Crack, where you send us your problems,
your dilemmas,
if you need a bit of advice.
If you want to tell us a crazy story, because I want to hear crazy stories.
Yeah, they're completely anonymous.
Anonymous.
And we're going to discuss them and try and give you a bit of advice. So we did post on our social media looking for some.
I just add before we continue that we are not experts, we are not professionals. So take what we say
with
a pinch of salt.
Yeah.
I think you do give good advice.
Yeah, I feel like I have a wise head on my shoulders.
I think I am as well. I feel like I give good advice, but I can't take my own advice.
Yeah, that makes sense. So let's start with the first one. There was quite a few, but I feel like because this is the first episode, we've like rambled on a lot of other things. So in future, we'll probably give this a bit more time, but we'll just start with two for today.
Yeah.
Okay?
Okay, let's do it.
So we've got how to deal with a best friend who has devoted her whole life to her boyfriend. It has turned into a very one-sided relationship. She hasn't called, text, etc. Always me doing it first. I've brought it up to her, but she doesn't seem to grasp how much it's affected me. Love you both. Aww.
That's so cute.
At the end. But yeah, I feel like I'm good with this kind of thing.
So what, she gives all of her stuff. Is it a girl with another girl?
Yeah, I think this is a girl saying that her... No, I think this is a girl that sent the message saying that her best friend has got a boyfriend. And has like basically ghosted her and her time now goes in the boyfriend.
Yeah.
That's what I think that is. And I have a few different opinions on this.
I've had experiences with this in the past.
Me too.
Where I've had friends who I may have been like very close to and then all of a sudden they're just all with a boyfriend all the time and they just completely ghost all of their friends. And then me and the other friends are like, well, she's got a boyfriend now, so like we just don't see them anymore. Yeah.
But then I think... like I can kind of get it for where I don't know if it's a girl or boy, I'm assuming it's a girl, but where they're coming from in the way that, especially if that was like maybe one of your only really close friends and then all of a sudden they get a boyfriend and you're kind of left there like and they're not giving you much attention or time anymore, that can be really hard. That's what she
said that
they're saying it's really affecting them.
Have they mentioned it to the friend?
Yeah, so she said she doesn't seem to understand how much... The friend doesn't seem to understand how much it's affecting her.
Okay, right, yeah.
So she obviously has tried to say something. So that would have been my first point. Speak to your friend. She maybe doesn't realise. But it sounds like they've tried that. So what I would say is there's a few different opinions, ways I would say about this. if this is a person in your life that you feel that is supposed to be in your life forever and you have like a love for this person, then I feel like you nearly need to like be the bigger person and just let it go. And if you align again, then it'll happen.
100%.
Because I know, like, if I've had really best friends that I love and adore, and it's really upsetting me, but to maybe like cut them off in like a negative way, you're only going to damage yourself more, because you're always going to cling on to that. Where if you just let it go,
yeah,
and you've no bad blood, everything will work out for you. You will meet new friends, because I've been there, that I've gave up friendships because I felt like it was the best thing for me to do, but I've been worried I'm not going to leave myself with no friends.
Yeah,
it does eventually figure itself out. Do you know what I mean? But yeah, I feel like to cut someone off in a negative way that is your best friend, it will affect you more than
100%.
It might even affect them, because they're in their little wrapped up boyfriend world. And
but then what happens then if they break up with the boyfriend? Should they come running straight back to you?
That is, so that's the thing. But then my thing is, if that was my best friend, I would still be there. So it depends. But then I've also friends that are just like an acquaintance kind of friend, that if they got a boyfriend and never heard from them again and they tried to come back to me when they broke up with the boyfriend, I'd be like, no, you ditched me. So I feel like it depends how deep rooted your connection and friendship is. If you're like best friends and you love this person, I think it's best to like try and be there and hang on. And I know it's so hard,
yeah,
but try and be there, and even just take a step back, and if they break up or whatever, you'll always be there.
Yeah.
And make your friend aware of that. But at the same time, don't keep trying and trying and trying, and make her aware that, look, I am trying to make you know, our friendship work, but I think I need to take a step back because I'm not getting that reciprocated to me. But I'll always be here for you. And then you're not leaving the friendship, but you're in good terms, but you're not like fully invested in it.
Yeah, you're not. Does that make sense? Get down for it. I really, really agree what you're saying there. I think if I was putting myself in that situation, I would just be like, let the friend know, be like, here, this is kind of upsetting me. Like, this is what's happening. I feel a certain type of way. Like, I really am getting upset that the fact that you're not really giving me any energy or any of your time and stuff. Like, I have a lot of love for you or whatever. And then after you open your heart and speak honestly about your emotions and feelings, if your friend continues to not put the effort in, then that's okay.
It kind of shows the friend's true colors as well, doesn't it? That's the thing. And as I say, if you really love that person and you do want to always be there for them to keep your peace of mind, then be that person. But if it's really, really affecting you, that you actually think you'd be better out of the situation, then just take yourself 100%. Out of it. And you will make new friends. I promise you. 100%. I promise you.
There's so many people out there for you, and your past will cross with people. Yeah, that's exactly
that might have been a bit of a vague answer, but I do think it depends on circumstance, on how close you are with that person, that if cutting them off might actually affect you really bad.
Yeah, I would say just distance yourself, not completely cut entire like relationship, don't block them or any of that sort of stuff, but obviously just distance yourself after you maybe express how you feel. Yeah. And if they come back, then be open potentially if it hasn't affected you that much, but just continue on with your own life and try and maybe make new friends, or like,
and it'll probably just figure itself out.
But and like, you know what, I'm looking back at my own life as well, and like, there's been so many people where I've been so close to certain periods of times, but then people change, people's values change, people's lives change, people end up growing up and go on with their different lives. Like, I have people who I was so close with, and I'm like, oh my god, I haven't actually spoke to you in like 4 years now. Nothing bad happened,
you just drift
apart because they get in relationships and they may settle down a bit, whereas I'm traveling about and making new friends and doing different things. So you just drift, and that's just the game of life, and it is kind of sad. Like, I miss a lot of my friends who I was so close to at certain times, but
it's so funny
for them as well.
I think as well, like, in different phases of my life where something like that's maybe happened, it seemed like such a big thing in the moment that I'm like, oh my goodness, my friend's not talking to me anymore, and like, this is going to be the end of our friendship and blah 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 blah. But like, life is so long, right? So like, that little tiny patch in 10 years time will seem like nothing.
Yeah,
do you know what I mean? But in the at the time, I get it, it's so hard to be like, how am I going to get through this, my best friend's literally ignoring me. But everything will work itself out, and just always keep that in the back of your mind.
100%. So you got this. We love you.
We love you.
We're your friends.
We're your friends.
But you got this. And let us know how you get on in the future. Give us a wee message if you do speak to your friend, or if things do work themselves out. Or if you want more advice, give us a wee shout. We love you. We've got you.
Okay, next one. The last one.
Okay, right.
How to deal with a narcissistic boss who is threatened by you and bullies you daily. can't go to HR as they always protect the management and she would know I went to HR about her.
Sorry, your vile boss bullies you.
Yeah, vile.
What?
This is so common though. Like so common in the workplace. It's crazy.
Surely you can get something done if the boss is bullying you. I think
you can go to like employer's advice and stuff like that. Like legally, like you, there's things to protect you out there, but I get that can be a very daunting thing to do. Yeah,
that would be.
You know, my honest opinion, I've been there. I've been there in a job where my boss has been treating me really, really bad, not even long ago either. And it literally seems like the end of the world because you're like, I can't leave this job because I need money, but also I can't keep going on like this. And I've no one to turn to because it's been the head person treating me that way.
Right.
It's so, so difficult. But as I say, like there's legal routes you can take. You can actually go to like employer's advice and citizens' advice and stuff like that and actually get help that way. What I would say is just straight away, start looking for a new job. Do you know what I mean? Like, start searching. If you can stick out the job, start searching while you're sticking it out, because it means the second you get a new job, you can leave. Now, I'll not lie, when it was me, I just left the job with no other job lined up, which I didn't have the money to do that either. It wasn't like I was in the position that I could do that.
You have to put your own happiness first.
I just trusted that if it came to it, I'll go in the brew. I'll go in job seekers. Yep. That's the stage I was at. And I'm not giving you that advice to quit your job. Do you know what I mean? Yep. That's what I did. And I was just lucky that everything aligned. Within the next week, I managed to get a job that I loved.
Okay, but everything happens.
That's a positive. That is a positive. And hopefully that can give you a bit of hope that things will figure itself out. But
someone I was speaking to who's quite close to me recently, he was telling me that he is in a job and his boss, it just came to my head there and I was like, oh my God, that makes kind of similar sense. His boss is like horrible. Like he's just so angry and just a dick to him all the time and like stuff like that. And he was saying for ages, he was like always so stressed, always like getting like angry and getting agitated and it was really affecting him. And then one day he like realized, he was like, no, I'm actually going to be calm. I'm not going to let this one person dictate how I feel. So he like goes into work and he tries to be present and he's like, you know what? I'm grateful for this situation happening to make me realize that this is not the job for me. I'm going to stick it out, get the paychecks until it's time to leave. But thank you, universe, for allowing me to see that this is not the job for me because this is the way this man makes me feel.
No job should ever make you feel that bad. You know what I mean? Like you should never be bullied in a job.
Yeah.
But that's so true. Like you kind of, you've been in that job now, you're being treated that way. The only thing you can do is grow from it. And like, it's a stage of your life. Like I said, there's legal avenues you can take out there. If you go to Citizens Advice, they'll be able to advise you properly. But we can only give you advice on like what we've done or whatever. And I would just say, first of all, try and stand up for yourself. Easier said than done. I get it. But you are just as important in this world than the boss is.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Just remember that we're all equal. Just because maybe they have a better paycheck than you, you're equal as a human. So try your best to stand up for yourself is my main advice, but I know that's easier said than done. Obviously, start trying to look for another job. Start trying and just make sure you're putting your mental health first.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? 100%. I've seen myself be in jobs that I've let myself get so down about that I've ended up having to go to the doctor and get a sick line to take a week off because...
The jobs that I, from my own personal experience, the jobs that I've worked that have made me really unhappy... Something's happened where I've ended up having been forced to leave, or like something's happened where it's been like I'm just right and gone.
And that's probably them things have happened for a reason.
100 million percent. 100 million percent.
But honestly, I would just say to the person that sent that in, I feel you. I feel you. That is so tough. And people will just tell you, just go to management. And you're like, no, but the HR will tell the boss I went. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. It's not realistic. But go to Citizens Advice or Employer's Advice. See what avenues you can go down and just start searching for a new job.
Yeah.
Because you can't change that person bullying you. And you can try and stand up for yourself, but that person's still probably going to be a horrible person. Mm. And you don't want to be around that. You don't want to work with that person for years to come.
Yeah, fair.
Do you know what I mean?
Or you could play loads of pranks on your boss that she gets that sick of her job because people are playing pranks on her every day that she wants to leave.
That's very Keg's advice there. Take that with a pinch of salt. But yeah, we're sending y'all our love. I hope to God your situation gets better because that's just not nice.
No, we love you.
Not nice. We love you.
Thanks for sending your dilemma in. We got you.
We got you.
So, gals, that is the very first episode of the Crackheads podcast. Thank you all so much for listening. We really appreciate it, and we're both so excited to go on this crazy adventure with you every single week. So make sure to follow, subscribe on YouTube, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, wherever you get your podcasts, so you do not miss out, and you'll be supporting us as well. So thank you so much for that. And we did have a few technical difficulties whilst doing this podcast, which is why I'm sat here finishing off the podcast whilst I edit it. But we will learn for gain, and we will grow together. Do you know what I mean? And also thanks to everyone who sent in their dilemmas, because that obviously fills out our final section of the podcast. So if you have any dilemmas yourself, if you want any advice on anything, or if you want to tell us a funny story or something crazy that's going on in your life, send us an email to crackheadspod@outlook.com. The link is in our bio on our socials anyway. But yeah, send your dilemmas and we will try our best to give your best advice. And finally, thank you so much to Bella Mianta for sponsoring the first episode of the pod. We really appreciate you. So yeah, thank you so much, and we'll see you next Sunday. Love yous. Bye.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to 1 full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full, important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.